morning, and welcome to worship at Germantown Presbyterian Church this morning. Whether you are with us in the sanctuary or you are joining us online, we are so glad that you are here with us in worship. We welcome the men of the church, and we say thank you very much to them for leading us in song this morning. Go right ahead. Yeah. And we have them with us because it is Father's Day, and so we do say Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. And of course, we give our special thanks and praise to our Heavenly Father, and so we are glad that you are here with us. I do have a few announcements, and I'm going to start with this one so I don't forget it. You might have had an insert in your bulletin, but next Sunday, the Congregational Life Committee is once again, it's been 2 years, since we've been at, no, maybe 3 years, 2019, I think. Right? Kelly's nodding, right? 2019, since we've been able to host congregational potlucks. And so we're going to have three this summer like we have in years past. The first one is a breakfast, and so it will be at the Sunday school hour at 9:30 in the activity center. And we really encourage you to bring whatever you would like to bring. It's potluck, but we always can use those egg casseroles. So we don't need everybody to bring fruit, but egg casseroles, if you're so inclined, that would be awesome. 9:30 next Sunday in the Activity Center. Also, if you are a visitor here with us, we welcome you to pick up a yellow visitor bag in the narthex. And if you don't see one out, ask an usher, and they will get you a visitor bag. We want you to feel really welcome here at Germantown Presbyterian Church. And if you have been visiting with us and you're curious about how would you become a member of our church, then I invite you to, in your bulletin, you'll see that you can reach out to Beth Willingham or Lee Buring, and we will have a summer joining the congregation on July 17th. And that will take place at 9:30 in the parlor. Also invite you to let us know that you're here by filling out the friendship pad, either the one that's in your pew, if you'll sign it and pass it down, or if you're worshiping online, there is an online visitor pad, and we invite you to let us know that you're here that way. Sunday school for children and youth. As a parent of children, then you should already know, but if you're new to GPC, you might not know what the children are, and youth are doing this summer. And so Blair Hayes is here, our director of children's ministry, and she can let you know what their schedule is, both children and youth. And the adults continue to meet upstairs, and you can, next Sunday, find your way up there, and then you can find your Sunday school class. And just so you always know, as adults, you just come. You don't have to prepare yourself. You just come and participate. There are prayer cards in the narthex, and the Congregational Care Committee, the prayer ministry of the Congregational Care Committee, invites the congregation to pray for all of those that are participating in mission this summer as the face of GPC and the face of Christ in the world. And so Tuesday, our Mexico mission team is coming back from Mexico. And very early this morning, the middle schoolers left for their mission trip in Middle Tennessee. And then we'll have the high schoolers later. But right now, particularly 9 a.m., 9 p.m., or whenever it's good for you, but we like this idea of praying on the nines, getting us all used to it. Pray on the nines for those that are involved in mission trips this summer. Evening worship will be tonight in Warren Hall at 6 o'clock. We invite you all to come back and participate in that. And I think that's it. I think those are all of our announcements for this morning. And so I invite us all to just be still. Take a deep breath. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of Almighty God.
Rise up, O men of God. Let Good morning. If you will, please stand as you are able and join in our call to worship. Come, all you whose souls thirst for the living God.
We come
in search of help and hope. Come, all you who are acquainted with grief or oppression.
We come bearing our doubts, our wounds, and our fears.
Come, all you who are in need of good news.
We come in search of joy, truth, and light.
Come, one and all, and find refuge here in this place.
Come,
let us praise the Lord who is in our hope. Let us worship Almighty God. The Lord is near. The Lord promises to hear our prayers and respond. Let us then come with confidence before the Lord our God, confessing our sins to Almighty God and to one another. Let us pray. Creator of the rolling spheres, in this moment we praise your holy name, but we are busy people, and we do not always make time for you in our lives. We want to trust in you, yet we often feel adrift by the winds of change blowing us to and fro. Forgetting that you are always present, we ask, why have you forgotten me? Help us trust again in your providential presence, protection, and provisions. With the promise of Christ as our hope, lead us from our own wilderness wanderings into the well-tended garden of your love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In the name of the one who lives and moves among us, I declare to you that you are forgiven and freed to love and serve the Lord our God in all the world. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. As our children come forward for the children's message, I invite you to greet each other with the peace of Christ.
Good morning, friends. How are you today? Good. So I have a question for you. Oh, we got some more coming. Come on. So do you know what a tantrum is? I bet none of you have never thrown a tantrum, have you? A tantrum is when you might get angry or mad or sad, and you just start crying and yelling. Do you ever do that? Yeah? Okay. So when you do that, are you told you need to calm down and use your words? Yeah. So in today's story, we can stay calm and use our words. Let's look at our story today. It comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. We learn about a man who often had tantrums. Did you hear what the man did when Jesus arrived? The man ran towards Jesus because he wanted help. The man yelled, "What have you to do with me? And do not torment me." But then Jesus did something very interesting. He asked the man his name. The man uses his words to tell Jesus the name of his problem. And once the man is able to say what his problem is, then Jesus is able to help him. Jesus was able to help the man in today's story because the man was able to say what his problem was to Jesus. When we tell God what our problems are, then we can listen to how God wants to help us with our problem. So today I have a prayer rock for you. So whenever you feel angry or sad, you can take that prayer rock and just squeeze it and pray to Jesus, and that knowing that he'll take care of it. Okay? Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your words that we can use to speak to you. Help us to then hear your words that will help us to know what to do next. Amen. Thank you.
Let us turn to Almighty God in prayer. Holy God, you've gathered us in by your Holy Spirit into this place so that we might worship and glorify your holy name. We pray that you might settle our minds and our souls and illumine us with your word. Come, Holy Spirit, come and help us to hear your word read and proclaimed to us so that we might become more than merely hearers, but truly doers of your word in all the world. Through Christ we pray. Amen. As we continue in our summer sermon series titled Called To, this morning we're going to focus on how we are called to trust in God for our every need. We're going to begin with a reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 through 26. Let us hear God's word to us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest?" And then our reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, our sermon text for today, comes to us from 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 8. Let us hear again God's word to us. King Ahab told Queen Jezebel all that the prophet Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And Elijah was afraid. He got up and he fled for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Elijah went by himself another day's journey into the wilderness, and he came down and sat under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." And then Elijah lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." Elijah looked around, and there at his head was a cake baked on the hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." Elijah got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Once, well, truth be told, more than once, but once for this telling, I didn't have it all together. I thought I did, but I was lacking in oh so many ways. Most importantly, I was lacking in trust. Trust in God to care for me and provide for me and to lead and guide me. In other words, I felt like I was in control of the direction of my life rather than relying on God to be my everything, including showing me the way forward. in this telling, this truth telling right now, I had already felt called by God to go and do, that is to leave my career and sell my house to help pay for the way and to go where Jesus was leading me, straight into the wilderness, the unknown, seminary, and eventually ministry. This was a dropping of my net sense of calling, much like the fishermen Jesus called to be his first disciples. The hardest aspect of dropping all my nets was that I had no idea how to stop working. Maybe you have felt this way too. If you're retired or you're considering retirement or you're thinking of changing careers, going into a different vocation, or maybe you're heading to college this fall, or maybe you're just about to begin to serve on the diaconate or the session, whatever the change that you were facing, I know that you too can feel as though you're being led into a wilderness of the unknown that you have no idea how to navigate. I'd been working my entire adult life from age 20 to age 55. I'd made it through my children's toddler years, and somehow, with the grace of God, I'd gotten them through the awful time when my husband died. I was 40. They were 10 and 13. I'd gotten us through that, and then even through their teenage years. Even though I'd heard God calling to me time and again, beginning when I was just 17, when my choir director said to me, "You'd make a good preacher." I think he said that just because I had this big voice and a small body, but because I'd never seen a woman preacher, so I didn't know what he meant. But even though I had said yes to God time and again, even though I had agreed to go as far as re-enter college at age 48, been 29 years since I'd been in a classroom, and I studied for 4 years at night to finish my BA so that I could follow where God was calling me to seminary. Even though I had done all that, even though I had been agreed to be on session and be a ruling elder, even though I had taught Sunday school and led prayer groups and been very active in Presbyterian women, none of that required that I drop all my nets. Actually jump into the deep end, or jump off the high dive, if you will. But there I was, tiptoeing at the edge of that diving board, considering quitting my job and selling my house. Could I? Would I? I still waited 2 more years. But there comes a time in our lives, y'all, when we simply can't not. I know that's a double negative, but it's very warranted in this case. We simply cannot not say yes to God. And we'll say that again. There comes a time in all of our lives when we simply cannot not say yes to God. Because God always has a different plan for our lives. But what is required of us when we finally, truly say yes to God, when we do more than just tiptoe to the edge of the high diving board, when we finally agree to drop all of our nets and follow wherever the Holy Spirit of God in Christ Jesus is leading us, is this. It requires our complete trust in God's providential, protective, providing care. Because a wilderness is exactly where God is leading us, places that we are completely unfamiliar with, so that we are forced to trust in God for everything. We can no longer be in control. Truth be told, we never were. But it's scary, right? The wilderness for me was 554 miles away from my family. The wilderness was in a state that I didn't even have any cousins. I have cousins in Texas, and there is a fine Presbyterian seminary in Texas, but that's not where God was calling me. God was calling me to a state called Kentucky where I knew no one. Wilderness journeys are experiences where God will show us plainly that God is God and we are not. Wilderness journeys are places where we will be brought low so that we are able to learn about ourselves, who we are deep inside, and how we are called to place all of our concerns at the foot of the cross of Jesus so that we can be replenished to then go forth after our wilderness journeys in service to Almighty God. Stories about wilderness journeys are plentiful. I just searched on Google and found many. You can do the same. But each wilderness journey helps us to know that our wilderness journeys are not anomalies. They are similar to those of our human family everywhere. Cheryl Strayed's memoir, Wild, really speaks to hikers and runners and walkers, for she talks about her own wilderness journey up the Pacific Crest Trail, where she discovered herself. The trail runs from Mexico to Canada, and it's a great story. Descendants of enslaved peoples will relate to Jack Reeder's The Story Behind Juneteenth, which commemorates the final end of slavery in this country when word of the Emancipation Proclamation finally reached the enslaved African Americans in the state of Texas, June 19, 1865. What an awful wilderness journey they had been on for over 300 years. And so we, as people of God, with our brothers and sisters in humanity, we celebrate this day with our African American brothers and sisters. And y'all, there are all kinds of books about wilderness journeys, about loss and grief and illness. Elizabeth Clemon writes a book called Beauty Rising from Brokenness, a journey through childhood trauma to chronic illness to healing. Each of these authors invites us into their stories so that we can see ourselves in their journeys and we can learn from them and we can grow in our own faith and life stories. Biblical wilderness journeys do the same for us. As we learn from our ancient ancestors, we see that we, like them, are called to place our complete trust in God's providential, protective, providing care. Remember Moses' wilderness journey? He led the ancient Israelites out of their enslavement in Egypt, across the Red Sea, and on in the wilderness, all the way to the edge of the Jordan River. Just across the way was their promised land of Cana. But their journey lasted 40 years, and Moses grew old. And he wasn't the one that God intended to lead the people any further. His mission was to get them this far. And then it was for a younger prophet to pick up Moses' mantle and take them the rest of the way. So we learn from Moses that wilderness journeys are hard and that we will encounter difficult people along the way. Remember the whining, complaining Israelites? They didn't want any more of Moses' leadership or his guidance. They were spent. They only wanted to stop traveling to goodness knows where in their minds. Through Moses' story, we learn too that we might not be the ones to see the fruits of our labors. It might be our role to get to this certain place in time, to lead the people to this point. And then God intends for us to hand off our mantles to the next generation. But nevertheless, we are called to continue on wherever, however, for as long as God calls us, which will be to our life's end, just as it was for Moses. Because God never lets go of us or says, you can stop now. I don't need your service anymore. Not so long ago, I was having a conversation with a person who said to me, I'm 80. I'm tired. Surely there is nothing more for me to do for God. I paused. And then I shared how God might need this person to share their wisdom as a mentor, or might need this person to call and check on other people, or might need this person to be in prayer for others. God is never finished with us any more than God was finished with Elijah. There is always more for us to do. And truth be told, it's never about us. It's about God's providential plan. And our role is to trust in God and then to follow. Today we focus on our prophet Elijah. The story of his wilderness journey gives us a glimpse of another aspect of what we too must do to learn to trust in God. We must allow God to nourish us with food and water and rest for the long journey ahead. Sounds really logical and quite easy. But here's the thing. We really want to provide for ourselves. We are self-reliant people. We've got this. We're good. Until we don't. Before our reading today, Elijah had just stood strong for God before hundreds of prophets of Baal, testing their pagan god, and in the end proving to them that God is God and their pagan god was not. You can read 1 Kings 17 and 18 to hear that narrative. Elijah won that battle. And then he goes to King Ahab and he tells him. Ahab runs and tells Queen Jezebel all that Elijah had done. She had already killed hundreds of prophets of God. So when King Ahab tells her, she exclaims, "So may the gods do to me, and more so if I do not make your life like one of them," meaning one of the ones he had just killed, "by this time tomorrow." In other words, she threatens to murder Elijah. Now, Elijah had been so strong before those pagan prophets, so strong before King Ahab. He told Ahab about his sins. He'd commanded a 3-year drought. And now he runs away, fleeing for his life from Queen Jezebel. It's as though all of the adrenaline has left him. It's as though all of his trust in God is gone, evaporated. He'd been really strong until he wasn't. Elijah was human. Maybe he had given it his all. Maybe he had said, "I've got this." Maybe he had felt really self-reliant until he didn't. He's you and me. We go and go and go being self-reliant humans until we can't do it anymore. We become tired and hungry and thirsty. You know the term hangry. Right? That's us when we are completely spent. And so Elijah became fearful, and he ran and ran straight into the wilderness. And there, exhausted, he lay down under a tree, and he asked God to let him die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." He's ashamed that he has run away. And he has nothing left to give. He's like other prophets who behave similarly. Jonah, for example, was exposed by God for his egotism and selfishness. And then Jonah realizes his sin and he says, "Oh Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah had been self-reliant, egotistical, and selfish. And now he's going to need to place his trust completely in God again. Sounds like us most of the time. Moses too. Remember when he was faced with those complaining, wandering Israelites? Moses was tired and burned out. And yet with each challenge that they experienced in the wilderness, God provided just what they needed: food, water, rest, and for Moses, helpers. Most importantly, God provides an opportunity for each one of us to learn through these stories what it means to place our complete trust in God's providential, protective, providing care. So here's our friend Elijah. We feel for him now. He's run out of steam. He's run out of self-reliance, out of faith. We've all been there, done that too. We probably have the t-shirt. Elijah lay down by the tree and asked God to let him die. God's heard this before from God's servants. But per usual, God has another plan for this prophet's life. God is nowhere near finished with Elijah or Elijah's service to God. And so God sends a messenger to Elijah. Look at your bulletin cover. This messenger of the Lord pokes him and wakes him up and tells him, "Get up and eat." Elijah rubs his eyes. He looks around. He sees a cake and a jar of water, food, and drink, sustenance for his weary bones and flesh. Elijah eats and drinks and lays down again and goes back to sleep. We've done that too. Again, he's awakened by the messenger from God, who this time tells him even more. Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. He doesn't know what is yet to come. He doesn't know that the journey is setting before him is going to be hard. He doesn't know how he's going to be tested or what the outcome will be. But he knows enough to take down his self-reliant hand and accept God's provision. Elijah experienced the living God and cannot remain the same. You may remember that I pray this for us whenever we are at the table of the Lord and I am doing the prayers. I say, take us from this place as changed people, for we have experienced a living God and we cannot remain the same. Elijah has just experienced the living God too, and he agrees to eat and drink all that God has provided for him. He will trust again in God's providential, protective, providing care. With regained strength, he will go forth in service to God to love and glorify God's holy name with every step and every word and every action that he takes, even though he does not know where God is leading him. He knows he will not go alone. He knows he will not go dehydrated or famished or exhausted, because God has provided all that he needs for the journey before him, even further into the wilderness. The rest of the passage tells us how long God's provision sustained Elijah. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. As you might imagine, there is much more to Elijah's story, for God was nowhere near finished with this man. But the rest of his story is for another sermon, another storytelling. What we need to hear from this one is how Elijah came to once again rely on God for his every need, to walk by faith and not by sight. My friends, it doesn't matter if we once relied on God and then we slipped back into taking control of our own lives, letting our self-reliant hands spring forth into action, blocking God's gifts and provisions and grace from coming to us. It's even okay, because as Elijah shows us, God is never finished with us. God is steadfastly beside us, come what may. And in case we need one more reminder, remember Jesus' wilderness wandering, 40 days and 40 nights, when he was tempted by every temptation that you or I will ever face, so that we can have every assurance that we will ever need, that God is for us, God is with us, and God will never leave us. These repetitive biblical narratives with the number 40 in them, days and nights and months and years, are purposely written so that all of those with ears to hear will remember each one. from Noah to Moses to the ancient Israelite people to Elijah and Jesus, all of these narratives remind us without a shadow of a doubt that God is with us too in our own wilderness journeys. My wilderness journey has been and continues to be long and arduous and testing and challenging, and I know that yours are too. But here's the thing. We've come this far by God's grace. And so may we then, whether we be men or women or dads, especially on this Father's Day, or moms or teens or children, whether we be straight or queer, no matter who we are or where we've been, may we be reminded or come to know just right now, deep in our weary bones and flesh, like Elijah, that God's providential, protective, providing care goes before us and guards behind us, is our foundation and the light upon the pathways of our own wilderness journeys. For we do not know where we are going, but we can know that it is our God who leads us. And with this knowledge, may we take down our self-reliant hands and place all of our trust in the hands of our loving God. May it be so, I pray. And to God be all glory, honor, and praise.
Every time we have the gift of hearing God's word, look at those flowers, and that's exactly what it does to our souls. It opens us to new life and new beauty and new health. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit knows we need every time we open Holy Scripture. And so those who have been renewed and strengthened by God's goodness through his holy words, I invite you to stand as you are able. And join me as we recenter and recommit ourselves in what we believe. You'll see there are parts for all of us, parts for women, parts for men. So I invite you to join as we affirm our faith together. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel.
Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world.
Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child.
Like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still.
We trust in God the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, We strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives. With all believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So now at this time, I'd like to invite our friends Judd and Devin and Savannah, if they come forward, representing our mission partner, the Rising Together Foundation, to share a story about how that mission partner is doing this summer.
Thank you and good morning. I'm going to be very brief. Give y'all a quick update on Rising Together Foundation. We have 6 programs, 3-week full-day programs from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We're partnering with Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in East Memphis, Pursuit of God Transformation Center in Frazier, and St. Paul Baptist Church in Whitehaven. So we have the capacity to have up to 200 kids that will provide programming that includes academic enrichment, leadership development, public speaking, physical fitness, sports, and games. Later on, if they give me time, I will ask for prayers, people, and purse, or time, talents, and treasures. To help pay for and support our summer program. So I want to introduce 2 people very quickly. One I just met a few months ago, but I've known her family for a long time. Her name is Savannah Davis. She's a graduate of North Point Christian School, and she just finished her freshman year at LSU. And I assume she's there on a mission trip for her as an Ole Miss graduate. And there's a lot of state fans in the crowd, too. But she's a biology and pre-med student there. The second is Devin Malone, who I've known for probably 10 years. Like Dr. Jones and me, Devin is a graduate of Memphis University School and just completed his freshman year at Cornell, where he is an applied economics and management major, and he's also a member of the football team. So I would like to welcome Ms. Davis and Mr. Malone to say a little bit about our programs this summer. Thank you.
Good morning. Like Mr. Peters said, my name is Devin Malone, and I'm a graduate of MUS, like your pastor and the lovely Mr. Peters. So I'll start today with my experience as a camper. Back when I went to SLAM, it was at Memphis University School, and though the mission still remains the same today, SLAM back then was more focused on providing diversity for Memphis University School and academic opportunities for students who otherwise over the summer would not get them. So what was this camp like? We got there every morning, we had assembly, and we had a word of the day. The word of the days were Christian moral values that Mr. Peters forwarded to us every day. And we got up there and we spoke and we practiced public speaking, which is something that I find useful as I'm doing some public speaking now. So thank you, Mr. Peters. Though I enjoy camp, I really didn't appreciate what Mr. Peters and SLAM had done for me until I became much older. Mr. Peters' favorite word is responsibility. And now, and back then, he urged us to memorize this definition that I offer. Responsibility is doing what you have to do, when you have to do it, whether you want to or not. And back then, I memorized it just because I wanted to make Mr. Peters happy. He was like the coolest dude on campus when we were younger. And probably the coolest dude at church too, huh? But this definition of responsibility, it provided me with a foundation. A foundation not only as a student, but as an athlete and as a young man. Responsibility comes up every day in our lives. When I woke up for school, I could be like, Mom, my head hurts. I don't really want to go to school today, which I did a couple of times, I'm not going to lie. But responsibility urged me to get out of bed every day and work hard through the rigorous course load that MUS poured over me for 5 years. Responsibility also is a foundation today as I'm an athlete at Cornell University. Whether it's practices, lifts, or going to the library to finish some work, I often go back to the definition of responsibility Mr. Peters offered for me. Today, like Mr. Peters said, we have three new locations, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Pursuit of God Church, and St. Paul Baptist. These new locations come with new challenges, but also new opportunities. We now serve a more underserved community in Fraser and Whitehaven than the students we got at MUS previously. But like I said, these new challenges come with new opportunities. Those who have the least deserve the most help. And this is what Rising Together Foundation has come together to do. So I would like to end by thanking you for the donations that you've already made. And I also like to say happy Father's Day to the fathers and happy Juneteenth to my brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I said good morning, church. Thank you all for having me today. My name is Savannah Davis, and I am the site leader and one of the counselors at St. Paul's SLAM program. And although it may seem irrelevant to you, I know Mr. Peters is a huge LSU fan, so I figured I would mention once again I am an upcoming sophomore there majoring in biology pre-med. Now that you know a few facts about me, thanks to Mr. Peters and myself, I would like to share a few facts about our SLAM program. Our SLAM Summer Academy is functioning at three different locations, Emmanuel Lutheran, Pursuit of God, and St. Paul, each equipped with counselors and teachers capable of and honored to pour into these children each and every day. I am a member of St. Paul Baptist Church, where my dad is the head pastor, so I personally had the benefit of already knowing some of our children. Not only do I have a tie to this program through my church, but I got to see firsthand the benefits of the program. My brother, Christopher Davis, was a part of the SLAM program as a counselor and before then a camper years ago. Not only did he leave the program as a leader, but he has incredible character standards and felt more ready than ever to enter high school and face the curriculum at Memphis University School. Some morals we work to instill into our campers are discipline, integrity, and perseverance. And after one short week of working at St. Paul, I've already seen tremendous growth in all of our campers. One of my favorite features about SLAM is we are not only focusing on grades and physical fitness, but we are also preparing our children to face a world where they are taught at a young age that they may not make it because of where they come from or the color of their skin or maybe what their parents have as a job. And we're teaching them that with responsibility, respect, and a drive to pursue your dreams, that you can do anything that you set your mind to. Again, I want to thank you for your time.
So now you know why I asked them to speak rather than speak the whole time, but I really appreciate Savannah and Devin. They're doing a great job as site leaders. We also have teachers that are site leaders at each location. And we're just so excited about the work that we're doing in Shelby County this summer. So thank you again for your support. And if you have any questions, you can call me or email me, and I would love to speak to you about our work. Thank you.
Thank you, Savannah and Devin and Judd, for the work that you were doing to make an impact on the lives of students in our community. That is a holy ministry, and we are humbled and grateful to partner with you in what God is doing through these incredible opportunities. Now, as we know and we have felt this morning, all day today, God has been talking to us. through music, through silence, through sermon, through prayer. And as we turn and talk back in a moment of prayer, we've got a really special blessing today. Today, normally we pray and then together we finish with the Lord's Prayer. Well, today we are blessed by the Lord's Prayer being sung over us by the men of our church. And so we thank you for that. Would you join me in a prayer? God, we needed to hear and feel your presence today. As we sit with you in the story of Elijah, we feel in our own bones fatigue, areas where we feel just done, parts of our lives where we feel depleted. And God, we hear your invitation to trust you. And it's so easy to say, we do. But in those vulnerable moments, Lord, we come to the edge of our comfort zones. And we confess that there are times where trusting you would be asking you to do exactly how we want our life to go. And Lord, sometimes trusting you takes us to deeper places, opening us deeper and wider to your grace that takes us to places that we could never expect or hope or imagine. And we thank you for being a bigger God than the boxes that we set for you. And so, Lord, we sit and rest this morning and receive the nourishment of your goodness and ask that you would keep nourishing those in our community for whom these hot days are bringing them to their limits, those who don't have a home, those who don't have the nourishment of friends or family, those who are struggling financially or between jobs and don't know when the next rent is going to get paid. God, we think about our sisters and brothers abroad in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, who just keep being pounded away by this oppression. And God, we beg of you to pour your healing mercies over that land. And we rest in the celebration of this day where we celebrate where the Emancipation Proclamation rippled all the way out. And we thank you, Lord, for calling us to be a people of freedom, a people of peace and harmony, and for nourishing us out of our lesser selves and calling us to be new creations, a people of hope, a people of trust, a people of acceptance. And it's uncomfortable at times. And you are there with us every step of the way. And so, Lord, we rest in you, the great provider and sustainer. And we trust you. And we give to you the totality of our lives. And we lift before you all of these prayers and the multitude unspoken as we receive the grace of the prayer that you taught us to pray. Amen. And now as those who actually have been sustained and provided for and cared for by the goodness of God, we give to God a portion of the bounty that he has graced us with in gratitude to his love and obedience to his holy scriptures. I invite our ushers now to come forward and receive our gifts to God. Jesus, we do praise you and thank you for providing more than we could ever hope for and imagine, for not only saving us from so much, but saving us for even more, a life of fullness and dedication to your love. Take and receive these gifts that we offer to you. Bless and magnify them for your glory and the building up of your kingdom. This we pray in your holy name. Amen. Thank you.
My sisters and brothers, you've just sung it. Great is the faithfulness of God. Every morning are new mercies coming to us, new blessings, so that we can share those with everyone we meet. So as you go forth into this new day, go forth into the world. May you go knowing that God goes with you, goes before you, guards behind you as your foundation and the light upon your journeys of your faith and life journeys. Go knowing that you are called to share the blessings that have come to you and that you are called to trust in God for your every need. And as you go, may the love of God and the peace of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God abide with you and binding you to one another and to Almighty God now and forevermore. And let God's people say, Amen.